Well, good morning. It is so good to see you all here this morning. I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. As we continue our study in the Christ is all you need, you'll notice this morning in your bulletins you were handed a sheet. It was actually in your bulletin, so when you were handed your bulletin, you got a sheet in there. That has some questions. That's something you'll see in the course of the weeks to come. There's also a handout part in there as well that we would I would encourage you to take a look at that helps you to understand a little bit more about what we're going to talk about today. But I want you to know that this morning as we look at God's Word, the underlying theme of the message this morning is you are reconciled in Christ. You are reconciled in Christ. Jesus Christ, as we just saw this morning, as we just stood before the Lord's table, as we came before our God and King, we can understand that in Jesus Christ we are reconciled. It is because of Him and because of His shed blood that we are able to stand this morning before the table. It is because of His shed blood that we are even allowed to come here this morning and to worship Him. It is because of His shed blood and because He's reconciled us that we can even do anything that we do. And so I want to encourage you this morning to understand that you are reconciled in Christ and in Christ alone. There is no other way for you to be reconciled. And it is only done by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a gift from God. It has brought us back to Himself. If you think back to creation and think back to the beginning of all time, the thought that God had in His mind was that He would have a relationship with man. And in the beginning, that was the way it was. And then sin entered into the world. And by sin, we became separated from God. We had a destiny we were walking down, and that destiny was we were headed straight to hell. We were serving a master, and it was not the Creator that we were serving. We were serving the master, the prince of this earth, and his name is Satan. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is who you serve today. Jesus clearly tells us you cannot serve two masters. You can only serve one, and there's only two that serve, either Satan or Christ. And so as we look at this morning how we are reconciled to Christ, I want to encourage you with that thought and ask you the question, what master do you serve? And who are you reconciled to? Because you are reconciled to someone. You are either reconciled to Satan or you are reconciled to God. You're not reconciled to both, one or the other. God is the Creator of the world, the ruler of all that we can and cannot see, the one who put the sun and the moon and all the things that we see in place. And it is because of our wickedness that we are separated from Him. You're all familiar with this word, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus didn't come because He pitied us. Jesus didn't come to show Satan up. Jesus came because He loved you and me. And He came to set the relationship on the right path. He came to put the relationship back where it was supposed to be. The relationship where we commune with the Heavenly Father, where we are focused on what God wants us to do and not on ourselves. I don't have time to go back and show you in Genesis chapter 3, but if you go back and you read Genesis chapter 3, you'll find that the problem was Eve began to look at the fruit. She began to look at the tree. She began to look at all of that. He began to listen to what Satan had to say to her. And through all of that, she said, I want that fruit. I desire that fruit. I desire to have the knowledge. It became about her. When her eyes were removed from God, it became about her. And when our life is removed from God, it becomes about us. And our life for a long time was about us. And yet Jesus came out of love for you and for me. He came to pay that price. He came to give us eternal life. He came to pay the cost. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." It says that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible continuously reminds us of how we are unable to reconcile with God, how we are unable to come before God. And even in the Old Testament, with the sacrificial system of coming and placing your hand upon the lamb and it being slaughtered and blood being spilled, that was only a substitute for the real thing. Most of us understand the substitute for the real thing. How many of you like real soda? I talk about the diet stuff. You like the real stuff. You know what happens when you have a substitute and you have a substitute too long? I drink diet soda. I'll tell you that. I've drank diet soda for probably most of my life. 25 years or better, I've drank diet soda. I can tell you today that if I pick up a real thing, you don't even have to tell me what it is. I can tell you whether it's real or not. And the reason I can tell you it's real is because it has a different taste than the substitute. The substitute for our sins is different than the real deal, the Jesus who died on the cross. There's a difference between those two, and you can tell the difference if you're standing in His presence. And the Bible tells us over and over again of how we have fallen away. In Psalms 51 verse 5 it says, "Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me." Throughout the entire book of Leviticus, you can find it over and over and over again. The whole congregation of Israel sins. The ruler has sinned. The leader has sinned. The person has sinned. You've touched this. You've done that. There's all of these rules and regulations that we find that talk about our guilt. In James chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one part is guilty of it all." We are guilty. We are guilty of forsaking God, for worshiping other gods, for adultery, for fornication and murder and lying and cheating and stealing and bearing false witness and gossip and jealousy, wanting what others have, disobedience to parents, not honoring the parents, and so on. We are guilty. We have no way to come before Christ. There's no way we can ever stand in the presence of God on our own power. Until you realize that you don't have the capability to come before Almighty God, until you realize that you don't have the ability to even utter one prayer to Him except for the prayer of Jesus, "Come into my life," the sooner you realize that you need Christ. We are a wicked people. And yet God came because He loved us. The Bible tells us that He did not think it was robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took on Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2:6-8. Romans 5:8 says that God commended His love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. He died for me. And Paul says, "Much more than now being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of His Son. How much more are we reconciled, shall we be saved by His life?" In a few short weeks, and at the rate we're going, it's going to be here before you know it, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior on Easter Sunday. And April 20th is the date set aside this year for that. And I want you to know that it is because our Christ is alive that we have the ability to do what we do. That we can stand here, that we have life. It's not just because He died and shed His blood. That was part of it. But if He did not raise from the dead, then how were we going to be alive with Him? So we find that Christ has done all of these things for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to reconcile us to Himself. To bring us back into that relationship that we had so long ago pushed aside. The relationship we no longer wanted with Christ. We just pushed Him away and said, "Go away from me." And unfortunately today, even some Christians are still pushing God away. Saying, "I've got my security blanket, Lord.
I've asked you into my heart, but I don't want you to really be in charge. I don't want you really to do anything. I just want you to be there when I get into trouble, and I want you to be there when I die. But other than that, stay away. But Jesus does not want that kind of relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you that says you have a deep-rooted, heartfelt relationship with Him. He has died to reconcile you to Himself. And how dare we have a superficial relationship with the Savior? Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, in Colossians chapter 1. He tells us in Colossians chapter 3 too, but that's not where we're at this morning. In verse 13 and 14, it says this. He says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Skip with me down to verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblamed and unreproved in His sight." I want you to see four things very quickly this morning, as quickly can be for me. I want you to see here in verse 13 that you have been rescued from the kingdom of Satan and translated into the kingdom of God. Listen to what Paul writes here in verse 13. He says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness?" The word here indicates this word "delivered" could be better translated "rescue." To pull up out of the miry muck. To reach down and give us something that we couldn't do on our own. This word, if you go back and study the Greek and how it's translated and put all together here, you'll find that this word here is a word of action. It is a word meaning that it's been complete. It is a word of fact. And it's a word that also means it's ongoing. Christ not only rescued us from our sins, but Christ is ongoing in our sanctification process. He is continually rescuing us from ourselves. And brothers and sisters, don't we need to be rescued from ourselves? Christ has rescued you from hell's fiery grip, and He continues to do so. What did He rescue you from? It says here, from the power of darkness. The word "power" here, in some translations, in the Holman's is translated "domain," and in the New Living Translation is "the kingdom of darkness." I can tell you that what we're talking about here is the dominion, the jurisdiction, and the authority over you. Who has that authority, that power, that jurisdiction over your life before you come to Christ? It is Satan. And Satan is the deceiver, and he wants to blind your eyes and push you back. He wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you in chains. He wants to keep you a slave to yourself and to what he wants. And the Bible tells us, that we have been delivered. Who has delivered us? The word "who" is in reference to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has delivered us from that. And He has delivered us from the power, the domain, the gripping grasp of Satan. He has delivered us from the being chained up in hell. He has delivered us from the blindness that does not allow us to see the Word of God. The cause of not being able to hear the Word of God. He has delivered us from the penetrating mind of the world so that we can hear the Word of God. This is what Christ has rescued you and I from. You know, one word that we do not find in our English translation Bible is the word "slavery." We find it translated many times in many other forms. It's translated "servant," "bond servant," "bond maiden," and so on. But if you were to read the Bible and properly translate the words that you find in there, you'll find the word doulos in Greek, and the word doulos in Greek means slave. And let me tell you something, you are a slave to sin. We are bound and chained by sin. And when Jesus Christ comes, He has freed us from sin. He has freed us from that slavery. And you have been set free. This is what the verse of Paul is telling us about. He has delivered us from the power of Satan. When Christ died on the cross, He freed us from all of that.
And I want you to understand something, that there isn't anything you can do to get that on your own. There's no amount of work, there's no price that you can pay, you can't bribe enough people, you can't do enough good stuff to free yourself from the grip of Satan. It is only by the blood of the Savior that you can stand in His presence. It's only by the blood of the Savior that you can even be freed. When Christ died upon the cross and He was buried in the ground, and 3 days later He arose victorious! And Satan is cowering in the corner because Jesus now, as He said in Matthew 28, I have all power under heaven and earth. He has all the power to release us from Satan's grip. He has all the power to put us in the right place. He has all the power to give us the ability to do what we need to do. He has all the power. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you who were dead in your sins and trespasses. See, before Christ came and died on the cross for us, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. Notice the key word in that verse is in. We were in sin. You don't become a liar when you tell a lie. The lie is already in you. You don't become a thief when you steal. The stealing, the thievery is already in you. And the same goes with murder and adultery and covetousness and every other sin. Committing sinful acts is not what you want to do, but it is who you are when you are a sinner, when you are in Satan's grasp. You don't know anything else. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ came. See, we needed a rescuer. We needed someone who is pure and holy, someone with power and authority to pull us from the mire and the muck that we were stuck in. You ever been stuck in the mud? And stuck in the mud. I don't tell this story very often. My daughter knows it. My grandkids kind of know it. Many, many years ago when I was younger and I was still capable of jumping off buildings like a moron, I saw a nice pile of dirt and I said, that'd be a good place to land. It was a very good place to land right up to my waist. I think my boots are still in that pile of dirt. I have no idea because I came out without them. I was stuck in mud. I was stuck in the miry muck and clay. And it took a lot of effort and energy for me to get out of that. Just envision that in your mind, but never being able to release yourself from that because you do not have the power. It is only by the power of God. And Paul tells us that not only did He deliver us or rescue us from the power of Satan, the power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, but He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We need to understand that we no longer walk in this world. We are just passing through. We no longer live here. This is not our home. We are going someplace else. We are destined for someplace better, something greater. And no matter what your condition may be today, you need to understand that as a believer in Christ, you are destined for greater things. You are destined to go into a mansion. You are destined to walk streets of gold in the crystal sea. You are destined for crowns. You are destined for glory. You are destined to reign with Christ. We are destined for those things because Jesus has delivered us from darkness and moved us into the kingdom of God. High time we start understanding that. It's high time we realize the relationship that we can have with Christ, the relationship that Christ desires for us to have with Him. You know what's awesome is you never had to prove yourself. You never had to be tested. You never had to wait. When you accepted Christ, He said, my brother, You're now my child. You are now my son. You are now have the right to sit here in the kingdom with the Father. You have a right to come here. It's instantaneous. It's done. It doesn't take an enormous amount of time. It's instantly, boom, there you are. Here you are. You have a new identity in Christ.
Many in the world would want you to believe that it's a long process, but the Bible doesn't teach that. Paul says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. It is that free gift that Jesus gave to us. The wages of sin is death. The price that you had to pay for your sin was death. But the gift. We all like gifts, don't we? I just had a birthday. I like gifts. I didn't get probably as many as I'd like, but I got everything I needed, including my ring. I had a Hello Kitty party, by the way. That's what happens when you have grandkids, especially when they pick your party. That gift, that free gift that Jesus gave us, the gift of redemption. For your life. A life that was destined to be a slave to the world. We are now a slave to Christ, but not a slave to Christ in the aspect that we just do as every beck and whim, but yet we are a brother, we are a friend, we are sons, we are daughters. We serve Christ not out of necessity, but because we desire to do so, because we love Him with such compassion that we say, I must serve Him every day. Question to you in this moment would be, where's that desire and that passion to serve Christ? You see, He became victorious over death. He rose from the grave and He lives and sits at the right hand of the Father. He has done everything that you needed. He took the chains and bondage and slavery and broken those apart. He has created you as a new creature in Christ. He gave you a new identity, a new home, a new place. He has moved you to a new position, a new power. He has secured you by the cross. So why are we not satisfied with that? Why are we not satisfied with Christ being all we need? Paul, very simply, in this very simple verse, says He has delivered us, He has rescued us, He has translated us from the jurisdiction, the power, the grip of Satan and his kingdom, and He has moved us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And He has given us what we need. And what we were created to desire. And that is that relationship with the Father. I just want to take one side note for you very quickly here and let you understand something. That no one else through all of history could do what Jesus Christ did. No one else could have died on that cross for you and I. No one else is another way to heaven. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Hinduism, not any of that stuff. Nothing else replaces what Christ did. The Bible predicted it over and over that Christ was going to come. In Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7, for a child will be born unto us. In Isaiah 42, 6 and 7, I am the Lord, I have called you righteous, I have come to create a covenant with you. Isaiah 53, 4 and 12 through 12. Yet in our weakness He carried, in our sorrows He bore down, and He brought our troubles. He did it for us. And you can read the rest of those scriptures. I've paraphrased those for you. Jesus Christ is the one the Bible foretold would come. He is the only one that can give us the right way. He is the only way we can get to heaven. By no other name is there a way to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to heaven but by me. And you need to listen to me very carefully and very cautiously. We got to be very careful about the things that we hear and see on TV and the things we hear on the radio and what people try to convince us about. How many of you believe that this word right here is the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Then by that, we must stand and say, Jesus is the only way. We cannot waver from that stance. We cannot move from that stance. We can't change from what this Scripture says. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if you have a problem with that, then you need to check yourself, because this is truth. This has stood the test of time for thousands of years. And when we begin to think we have all the answers and we think we've found another way and all of those things, then what we're saying to Jesus is, you don't matter anymore. I know better. And what you've done is you've moved yourself right to the Garden of Eden. Because that's what Eve said without saying it. Jesus is the one that Paul is talking about in verse 13 here. Jesus is the one. Jesus said in John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus came to save the world, to save you and I. Paul tells us in Romans 5:12, by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. And then it says, and as by one man sin entered into the world, so by one man life has been given by the blood of Jesus Christ. God has reconciled Himself to you, to me. He has reconciled creation to Himself. He has brought the world back, and yet the world is still groaning because God is still angry with sin. Sin is still here, and yet He still loved us enough to come and die. You see, who has rescued us from the power of darkness and has translated or moved us or gave us a new identity into the kingdom of His dear Son? And Paul says in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Your sins are forgiven in Him. You have forgiveness of your sins in Christ. You have been redeemed by Him. You have been forgiven by Him. He gives you a new position and identity, and it is in Him. You know, many times we like to think that our position and identity is based in the church we belong to, or the people we hang out with, or the denomination we go with, or whatever those things are, the football teams that we go, whatever it is, we think that's where our identity and position. But listen to me, folks, as Jesus Christ followers, as His children, our position and identity is in Christ and Christ alone. Jesus said in John chapter 15, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, in 15 verse 4, He says, remain in Me and I in you. Just as the branch is unable to produce fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in Me. You ever wonder why your life may not be as fruitful as you think it should be? Why you haven't seen the power that God, you may think God should be putting through you? Maybe you ought to ask yourself the question, are you really in Christ? Are you allowing Him to be in you? Well, you know, Pastor, He's my Savior. Sure, I give you that. But is He your Lord? Is He the one working in your life? Or is He just out here on the edge who you just reach out once in a while and grab to pull in because you just can't handle something? So you say, here, come with me. And the rest of the time you say, stay over there. Where do we put Christ? Paul says it is by in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If you've been coming on Wednesday night, we've been studying what a disciple looks like. We've been actually looking at Colossians chapter 3. And I just want you to glance over there if you have your Bibles open with you this morning in Colossians chapter 3. And listen to what Paul writes for us here in these first three verses. If ye then be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things in the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. These are powerful words. Where is your focus? What are you looking at? Are you searching for God? Are you seeking God? Are you desiring God? Are you setting your affections on things above? Do you understand that your life is in Christ? as we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, that it is secured in Christ. You are positioned in Christ. You are raised in Christ. You are seated in Christ. You are hidden in Christ. Your position and your identity are found in Christ and Him alone. He is your life. Without Him, you would be dead in sin. Paul makes reference to this great phenomenon of being in Christ 14 times in this book. He mentions 5 times in the first chapter, 4 times in the second, 3 times in the third, and 2 times in the fourth. It's important that you understand that your life is in Christ. It began with His death, but it didn't end there. That was the payment for the sins that we had. You see, somebody had to pay for that. And that's what He did. He reconciled you and I to Himself. Without that death, without that penalty, without that payment of sins, there was no reconciliation to be had. And when Christ rose from the grave and you accepted Him, He gave you a new identity. That identity is in Christ. Paul writes here that we have redemption and forgiveness of sins in Him. Redemption refers to the payment or the price that is necessary to ransom you or to pay the issue of your crime. You have a bill, you pay that. It's remittance, it's redemption. You're taking care of a debt you owe. We had a debt, and Christ paid that debt. Look with me at Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcised of your flesh, has He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." Here's what Paul is telling you in Colossians chapter 2, 13 and 14. That Jesus Christ, He came to the judge, and when the judge was about to hammer the gavel down and say, "You're guilty, you're destined for the penalty of the sin," Jesus came and said, "Whoa, hold on a second, I paid that price at the cross. I've shed the blood. And I'll pay it. I've got it right here. Hold on, let me get out my wallet. Let me take care of it so they're free. I'll buy them. I'll take them. They're mine." And He did that for the entire world, not just for one person, not for two, but for the entire world He did that. You can give Him praise. It's all right. For this reason, Jesus presents all of us blameless before God. Not only are we reconciled to Christ, not only has He rescued us and translated us, not only has He redeemed us and forgiven us of His sins in Him, but He has also made peace with us with God. You know, we were enemies with God. The Bible tells us over and over we were enemies of God, separated from Him. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have peace in Him. We have peace with God. You know, you can come before God with every prayer and every concern. You don't have to worry about that He's going to come down and strike you dead. I know we laugh about those things when we say something, "Oh, stand away, lightning's going to strike you." I don't have to worry about that. If lightning did strike me, I know right where I'm headed. I'm headed to the one that brought the lightning. His name is Jesus Christ. And I can stand with Him. I have peace with that. Maybe you're here today and you're at odds with Him. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're at odds with the Father right now. You have no peace in your life. You may say, "Well, you know, Pastor, I got lots of money and I got everything I want and I got all the fancy toys and I got blah, blah." You can have all of that stuff and you have no peace with Christ. Because none of those things will fill the voids in your life as Jesus can fill it. We have that peace with Him because He has restored our relationship. He has done that by reconciling us to Himself. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 103, verse 12, he says, "For as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us or our sins from us." Every sin that you've committed, every sin that you will commit has been forgiven of you at the cross. What we did right here at the table this morning is because Christ has forgiven all of those at the cross. And this coming to the table this morning allows us to understand and realize what Christ did for us, to keep in remembrance what He had done for us at the cross. I just wonder sometimes how we go through life and do the things that we do and forget what Christ has done for us. It always amazes me how when somebody does you wrong, boy, we can remember that for 100 years. But when somebody does you right, you can't remember that for 5 minutes. And Christ did something so right for us. And we are so guilty many times of just forgetting that. We're so guilty many times of not passing that on. We say, well, but you know, I don't know what to say and I don't know how. You got peace with God. You know everything you need to know. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of your life. And when the Holy Spirit is residing inside of your life, you can say and do anything God desires for you to do. And you can succeed. See, Paul told us in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, there is no condemnation that exists for those that are in Christ. You cannot be condemned. Don't let Satan convince you that you have this issue or that issue and you're not good enough. Hey, I got news for you. Let me tell you something. None of us are good enough to serve God. I am not good enough to stand in this pulpit and preach you a message, but I can do it because of the power and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that's why I can stand here, and that's the only reason I can stand here. And that's the reason we need to take when we go and tell Satan that you just mind your own business and stand over there in the corner, because Jesus has paid the price already. And I've got peace in God, and that's that peace that's going to let me do what I need to do, and you get out of my way. You've been forgiven. And because you've been forgiven, you have peace with God. God has rescued us. He has moved us and translated us into His kingdom. He has redeemed us and taken and forgiven us of all of our sins, and He has given us peace in God. And finally, He has initiated and pursued a relationship with you. You know, as I thought about this part here in the Scripture, read with me here in verse 21 and 22, it says, "And you who were sometimes alienated or separated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, you were way over there and God was way over there. You weren't even close, yet He has reconciled us in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblamed and unreproved in His sight." You know, as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of what we probably all have done in time past, and that's passing little love letters, right? You ever done that? All you little teenagers in love, you pass little love letters. That's all right, us old folks do that too. You know, it probably went something like this. Do you like me? Do you love me? Check yes or no. Please hurry, because I may not be able to handle it till the, you know, no, we don't usually put all that in there. But that's how we respond, right? And we've all probably been there and gotten those things. And, you know, Jesus Christ, God, our God, Holy Father, did the same thing when He gave us this. And He says, do you love me? Please check yes. He doesn't even ask for the no. He just asks for the yes. Do you love me? Do you love me? He initiated it. He gave us this out of His own kindness. He created the earth out of His own kindness. He sent His Son out of love for us. He did it all because of us. He did it for us. He sent us this. He's asking you to say, come, I want this relationship with you. Will you just come and have a relationship with me? But unlike some of us who might try to manipulate a relationship, Christ does not do that. He asks out of the compassion of His heart for you to come. He'll plead with you to come. He'll give you opportunities to come. But He never forces you to do it. He just says, come. And He pursues you. As we've seen here, we were alienated. We were separated. But yet He reconciled us to Himself. He called you. He quickened you. Or He made you alive. He gives us the ability to understand the Scriptures. He has made reconciliation possible because He died on the cross. When we can understand what Christ has done for us, I don't know how we can do the things that we do every day. Let me refresh your memories again in these Scriptures.
He has rescued and transferred you into heaven. He has forgiven your sins in Himself. He has paid that price. You can be at peace with God because of what He has done, because of the reconciliation. And Christ initiated and pursued that relationship with you. These verses talk about what Christ did for us. Notice nowhere in here did it say what we had to do. Christ did all of this for us. And all He asks in return from you is to say yes and then be obedient to His commands. To desire to do what He wants, not out of a total commitment, but out of a love, compassion relationship. I do stuff for my wife because I love her, not because she makes me. She may think that sometimes, but that's all right. But I can tell you right now that whatever she desires, she gets. Because I love her. And whatever you desire, whatever you need from God, whatever God wants you to do, if you'll do for Him, He desires to give to you. He wants to live in you, be part of you. And as Christ is in you, He will flow out of you. And when He comes out of you, out of that overflow, you'll see great and mighty things take place. That's the relationship that He wants. He is all you need to be secure in life. We looked at that a couple weeks ago. He has reconciled you to Himself. So here's some questions as we close. Here's some things I want you to think about. Are you worried or anxious about anything? Do you have things that are just destroying your stability and your hope? Are your days and nights filled with regrets and consumed with guilts of the past? You need to understand that you're forgiven. And Christ has reconciled you to Himself. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Sin does not have power over your life. Let me repeat that. Sin does not have power over your life if you are a Christian. If you are reconciled in God, sin does not have the power over your life. Folks, we have to stop living in the regret and the anxiety and the worry and being consumed by guilt of the past. Jesus Christ paid for it all at the cross, and it is dealt with and done. He has reconciled you to Himself. And now what we need to do is fall on our face before Him and say, Jesus, take this from me so I can do what You've asked me to do. Because Christ is all you need. Because Christ is all you need. He has paid all the price, all the issues, all the circumstances. He's done it all. Now here's your two questions for you this afternoon as we close. Number one, do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you need to come right now. Don't wait for me to get down there. You come right now. You fall on your face right here in the front and say, Jesus, I need to know You. And we'll get some people around you and we'll show you what the Bible says and we'll get you going down that path. Maybe you're here as a Christian this morning and you've been struck with all this worry and doubt and grief and guilt of the past and you not understanding what Christ has done for you at the cross. And I'm going to tell you, you need to come. You need to fall on your face right here before God and say, Jesus, take this. I'm tired of carrying it around with me. However God's speaking to you, you just come. He's paid it all at the cross. He has dealt with all the issues. All He's asking for you is to now be obedient and to give it up and to come. Our great Father, God in heaven, we thank You for this time that You've given to us. Lord, I don't know what's going through people's minds right now, but You do. And I ask, Lord, that what's going through their minds is how I need to be reconciled to Christ. He has done everything that is necessary for me to come and to stand before Him, to come and to kneel. So why do I still hang on to the things that I'm hanging on to? Why am I still doing the things that I do? Sin has no power over my life because I am grounded
in Jesus Christ, the Savior of my soul. Thank you, Lord. Ask that we would listen to you at this moment, be obedient to your word, be responsive to all that you have to say. In your great precious name, amen.